attention to detail that makes this show. Okay. And hello. It is 9 seconds after the hour of 12. That's how I know that we're early, by the way. Because it's only 9 seconds and not like 40 or whatever it normally is. It's okay. I'm not pointing any fingers.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm not on the board till exactly 23 seconds ago.
That's the spirit. it's not my job. Local 86. 32 seconds.
That was local 48.
12. In the month of July. Hello. The year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. Live from the lushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios, AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Cavalcade of Whimsy. Thank you for coming by and listening. It is Friday. Welcome to day 12. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to interact with us electronically, you can do that as well. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. All right, so here's what's coming up today. Hey, Scotty, do we have a guy who was going to be monitoring the show who just offered to do it? Or should I be casting a net for someone to monitor my efficiency in moving through the various and sundry topics today? He is? Do we have to get him on, or is he just listening? Is he out there just transcribing this like some sort of court reporter? Well, just let me know. Okay. I'll tell him to call. Is it Chris? Is it Mailman Chris? I'm having a conversation. I know it sounds
best
like I'm talking
ever.
To no one. No, it's... Look, this is... Not sure. Okay, well, whatever. If you are the Chris in question, this makes no sense to anybody. We've been sort of pursuing a new avenue for Rick Emerson show efficiency, which is that because for like a day and a half, we were having Sarah tabulate and calculate and then tally all of the things that I forward promoted here at the beginning of the show, all the things that I gave guarantees for. And then at the end of the program, we were figuring out what I did and what I didn't do. And I was owing then a push-up for each item not gotten to, not checked off the list. And then we started having a different person do it every day. But that was a little bit of a crapshoot because we were telling people they had to listen all day every day, and then sometimes they'd listen for like 10 minutes, and they would just sort of extrapolate out from that what they surmised that I got to or overlooked.
Listen every morning at 7:17. For today's clue and how to win a microwave oven. The Bippy and Bobby Morning Show.
Yes, we're listening for the secret word this afternoon. Don't forget, afternoons are laughternoons.
Hey, scramble states.
Gary, Larry, and Mary. I think Tim and I have both gone crazy at the same time. All right. I knew it was a mistake to have this copy of R&R sitting right here because the bad radio vibe is just leached out of it right into our brains. We'll get to this later. I know that is one of the things we are getting. We'll get to that in the 2 o'clock hour, which is the only hour that's not already packed to overflowing. Ah, it is Mailman Chris. All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. A longtime listener in front of the Rick Emerson Show, Mailman Chris. How are you, sir?
Not too bad, buddy. Just melting out here.
Thank you. And happy birthday to you.
Hey, thank you.
See, don't tell me I don't check my goddamn MySpace alerts. All right, there you go. And to your son as well.
Yeah, and Chris, thanks for that terrible magazine cover. That was horrible.
Do you like that? Isn't that nice?
He sent me a breastfeeding magazine cover.
Thank you. Can you send that to me as well?
A picture of it.
Yeah, just pass that along to me, too.
Hey, I told Scotty before, if you guys, you know, I'm here every day, so if you want, I just listen. I don't even have to call in and double check in the you know, beginning of the show. If you don't want me to, I just write them all down.
Now, it's probably important for me that we have this time to go over these things so there's no disputes arising later about what I said I would get to and what I did not.
All right, well, I gave Scotty my number so you all can call me or I can call in. Doesn't matter either way.
Let me ask you this. So you are, as your name would indicate, you are out there delivering the post for the people, which is, you know, just a good job and a job that needs to be done, and we commend you for it. My question is, are you in one of those, are you in like the postal, like little panel van kind of truck? You know, it's like a miniature UPS sort of truck?
Absolutely.
Are those things air conditioned at all?
We got a fan.
Are you wearing a pith helmet?
I'm wearing a summer pith helmet. Keep the sun off my head.
Right. You know, my mail delivery person does not wear a uniform, does not drive a mail truck, has a cardboard sign that says mail.
Are you sure that he's a mailman and not just somebody who's stolen some envelopes from another guy?
Apparently, they subcontract this out now.
It's a rural route.
Yes. Exactly. It's the Pony Express version. All right, so here's the thing. So here are the items I'm going to be getting getting to in today's program, Chris. And then we will check back in with you around 2:45, and we will find out which of those things I've gotten to, which I have not. Which is sort of pointless because I don't think anybody even at this point even knows the push-up tally. I have to recruit some other guy just to keep track of how many push-ups I owe somebody.
I think it was like 14.
Yeah, but you're making that up and pulling that out of some orifice somewhere.
I'm actually being very kind because it was a lot more than 14, and I cut it like in half.
I see. You're doing us a favor to me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Really, I should be thanking you for that 14 push-up tally. Here's what we're going to get to today. We have a Britney watch. We have a Whitney watch. And the Whitney watch is great. So is the Britney watch, by the way. They're both fantastic in their own way. Penis watch today. Gary Baumgarten. Now, this I'm not staking a claim on. Gary Baumgarten, we have left a message for. We have left a message for him with the guest booker at CNN. But I am not prepared to stipulate that that message will be passed along because they do have a bit of a lax attitude.
And a power outage in New York.
And a power outage. And apparently...
And sleeping.
And the Con Ed guys are asleep in their trucks, according to the news. Did a great picture this morning. Power out all over New York. Bloomberg is losing his mind, saying, I guarantee that the power must be back on. And then they immediately find some news footage of some Con Ed guys like... in their air-conditioned truck by the side of the road. So maybe a Gary Baumgarten. That's not a push-up right there, if I miss it. See also the ventriloquist, Jeff Dunham, who apparently has a talking jalapeno on a stick. We'll be in the studio later to do ventriloquism where no one can see it or appreciate it. We will also have the week... Aaron Duran has been kind enough to recut the Week in Geek. It is now the Weekend in Geek. It's part of my shame for not having played it for like the last 4 days. We'll do that. We will have a message from... Now, Scotty, is this true that CJ the Vegan... I like how he couldn't find time to call in today. Somehow he's... After running away... Tucking his dreadlocks between his knees and fleeing. After issuing all kinds of threats, not only now is he backing out of the fight, even if we found a meat eater fight him, he's backing out. He doesn't have the time to call in, but he has time to leave Scotty like a 15-minute voicemail this morning. So we'll play that. What else? And we will get to top five. Scotty has put together another heat-oriented top five. This one, top five songs that just have anything... He's really scraping. Anything vaguely to do with heat or fire or... burning or anything like that. So we'll get to that. Oh, and Scott Daly will be here to review Lady in the Water. And I think that's it. All right, so Chris, you got the list there?
I do. I've got Britney, Whitney, penis.
Oh, that's the whole show right there. Excellent, okay.
And then are you staking a push on the ventriloquism?
Yes.
I don't... Okay, now listen. I don't believe that I should be held accountable...
You should stake it on the jalapeno.
I stake my claim on this jalapeno. I do not believe that I should be held accountable for any guest whose arrival is beyond my control.
It's not a wash. No, no, no.
I can't make the guy get here.
I can get you off for today, but you can't stay forever.
He's a free individual. I cannot make him come here.
Well, if the guy doesn't show up...
That's what I'm saying.
But if he shows up and you don't have time...
Oh, no. If he shows up and I have to bump him, that's a push-up. If he's hit by a car on the way here, or there's construction, or he's just sleeping it off somewhere in a ditch and doesn't show up, that doesn't seem like it should be on my head. I think we're all in agreement there.
All right, and then we've got the weekend in Geek, the message from CJ the Vegan, top five, and Scott Daly.
Okay, there you go. Fantastic. So we will be checking in with you in about 2 hours and 45 minutes to find out what I got to and what I did not.
Sorry, you want me to call, or are you going to have Scotty call me?
You just call Scotty around 2:45.
Okay, will do.
Thank you, Chris. There you go. There's mailman Chris. All right.
Why don't you just go ahead and do a push-up now for the top five?
Why don't you just bite me? One of these days, I'm going to do it right here. I'm going to do it at like 12:06. It's 503-733-2970. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Stone. How are you doing?
Hello.
Okay. You kind of got your Linda Hamilton outfit on today. This is Linda Hamilton
and
T2. This
is my driving to the coast, being ready to battle traffic for 7 hours.
No, you've got, what are those, like, denims? Okay, so you don't have the hospital pants on, but you got, like, the white tank top, like you're getting ready to go battle the T-1000 to save John Connor.
The wife beater.
And so you're doing what? You're,
Driving to the coast for a wedding.
And that's
remember the bachelorette party?
Is this somebody I've met?
Yeah, I'm sure you met them over at a barbecue that I took you to. Corey and Marina.
Oh, yeah. Was this at the barbecue at Nate's?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just shifting around uncomfortably that whole time. I just kind of left without looking anybody in the eye. That's I don't think I actually interacted with anybody there.
I'm not looking forward to that.
Three days on the coast.
We were going to take Nate's car, but he doesn't have air conditioning, so we're going to take my sister's.
At least it'll be humid.
Yeah,
have fun with that.
And it's supposed to rain tomorrow, too.
Oh, good time.
Yeah.
Is it going to be 100 in Iowa? We'll find out. I'm not going to talk about it. Everybody knows it's going to be hot.
Very hot.
There was a zany email that went around the office here this morning, and it was like one of those kooky, like, how to make ice cubes emails. Like someone took time out of their work schedule.
I thought they were being facetious because somebody might have stolen ice cubes.
There will be no more water. Water will be taken away because someone stole an ice cube. So there's all of that. Oh, and by the way, two pieces of news. People have been asking me a lot about this, my brother's wedding, which is coming up, and asking about this suit because I poured out the whole sorry story of the wedding suit. And so there's two small pieces of news. One is apparently my calendar reading skills are as poor as my suit buying skills. The small piece of good news is the wedding is not this Saturday. The wedding is next Saturday. So I got another 8 days to stew in my own fear and trepidation. But most importantly, our good friend the Low, who did the Emerson Army theme song and Radio Gangsta, and it's time he performed some of our listener parties. He relocated to Vegas recently, although I think he's going to be in town next week. Anyway, he saw, he heard the show, heard the podcast, saw it online. He actually canvassed a bunch of the J. Crew stores that were sort of in his area, and he believes he has found the suit. He believes he has found it, because his whole thing was never trust the guy who's on the phone, never trust the guy behind the counter. He actually, how great is this? He went there and he actually made the woman go to the warehouse. He apparently made the woman like go into the big storeroom area and like rifle around. And he believes he has found the suit. It's way too big, so I get taken in. But the suit may, I won't know until it gets here. It's being overnighted. So the suit problem may be solved.
That is a good thing.
We'll find out. So that's, because I'm not going to be able to do the show with a mouthful of broken teeth, which is clearly what's going to happen.
Nobody really likes happy endings.
No.
Scotty, it's about that time.
What is... do that again? Are you rattling?
I only have... I have to park in 1 hour parking, so... Scotty...
Oh, you drove? Oh, because you're right going to the coast.
Yeah.
Where are you parked?
Right out there.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's only in the one hour. Yeah.
So when did you park there? 11:20?
No, because I got stuck on the Hawthorne Bridge, so I parked there at 11:13.
So, 11:13, 12:13, 1:13, 2:13. So there's three different hours you're going to have to go out and re-up. So you're going to have to pay 4 hours. He's going to have to go out and do that every hour?
He said he would.
That's fantastic. Wait, hold on. Well, let me just play the Scotty sounder.
You should summon him.
No, let me hold on. Let me find the
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
There you go, Scott. Oh, he's saying now if we risk it, we get more for the money. If you push your luck. All right, you think about that. Okay. Tim Riley's working on the following stories today.
I'm going to the coast, too, but I'm not going to Otterville.
Where are you going? Otter Bay? Otter Biscuit?
Something. Otter Creek, Otter Crest.
That sounds like a sophisticated place.
I should probably find out where I'm going once before I head out.
Gonna be staying in a hayloft?
No, I'm staying in a room with 10 other people.
Hanging out with Little Abner? Oh, great.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to be
this
fun.
This is just going to be a lot of drinking and being, and coming here Monday and hating your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's true.
Meanwhile, a Vancouver man is killed in the crash after stealing a case of beer.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, fantastic.
Colin Farrell's stalker jumps on stage during the Tonight Show.
Now, do we have audio on this yet?
We don't, unfortunately, I've looked really, really hard.
I don't ever
However,
watch the Tonight
Well, what
Show
happened was... on the East Coast, they may have seen it, but on the West Coast, it was cut out.
Oh, really?
So we don't get to see
Why
the
would they
stuff.
Possibly cut that out? It's on YouTube, probably. All right.
I look. Yeah. I couldn't find it yet. We're going to talk about Clerks, too. We do have some from that. And Bill Clinton will campaign for Joe Lieberman.
Okay. Oh, my God. I looked at my email. I just got that breastfeeding thing sent to me. I was sort of just being... Somehow, I thought it would be more... Yeah, sexy. Baby Talk, this magazine. Straight talk for new mom. Okay, the best part here is that I guess I shouldn't say this, but what are you going to do? Mailman Chris, apparently. I can tell. Can you look at this photo? You can tell exactly what's going on in this photo. He's holding it, and this is clearly a magazine that he's delivering to someone's house. So this is great, actually. He's actually just
going...
I love
the article's called Nurse Your Children Longer. Is that what it is?
Yeah, he's just going through and taking pictures of exotic things that he's delivering.
Is that just white baby talk?
Yes. Baby talk for dull Caucasians. Okay. And there we go. Have we teased?
Have we?
Almost ready for a break, so I think we teased.
Have we ever? And, here's Tim Riley in the City Desk.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. A man who stole beer from a Vancouver gas station and then died in a crash while running away from police is still dead.
Bada bing.
The crash happened at 5 o'clock in the morning. Buying beer at 5 in the morning.
Oh, he robbed beer. I don't believe he was buying
beer. No, he was robbing beer, allegedly.
We ought to get...
He's no longer here to defend himself.
So we can talk all the smack we want. You know, we ought to get some sort of sounder for when the circle just sort of closes itself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Some sort of a self-cleaning oven kind of a sounder. Because that's what that is. Dumb criminal, dumb criminal, dumb criminal. Dead. And then is no trial, no... Why can't all criminals have the grace and dignity and courtesy to just kill themselves somehow after they commit the crime?
That is a good question. Well, it happened at 5 o'clock in the morning at the intersection of Northeast 94th and Patton Parkway. The man stole a case of beer from the Chevron Food Mart on 72nd Avenue, then took off in a Nissan Sentra. He ran a red light while driving south on 94th and hit another vehicle nearly head-on.
Now, was the other person injured?
I'm looking here. The Acura crashed into the driver's side of the Nissan. The cars continue to rotate across the intersection, coming to a rest on the south side. The passenger on the Nissan is confirmed to be the driver. Let's see, he was pronounced dead at the scene. The passenger in the car, there was a passenger in his car. James Sylvester, 18, taken to the hospital.
Well, he was clearly an accomplice.
So the driver of the Acura was taken to a medical center with injuries that are not life-threatening. So
okay, so the other person, so everybody wins here.
The investigators believe the driver of the Nissan may have been drunk before stealing the beer.
He just wasn't drunk enough. Look, I would like to continue driving, but I don't believe I'm quite intoxicated enough. Let us now go steal some beer. Did it say what kind of beer?
It did not, no.
Okay, there you go.
Hoping for some product placement type of thing?
Probably not. I'm just curious about that. What does today's enterprising alcohol thief steal before killing oneself? All right. Well, there you go. And the circle of life continues. Here's Tim Riley.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will travel to the Mideast as early as next week to put an end to the violence and make everything okay with everyone all over again.
You don't want to hand the keys back to Hezbollah so that they control the situation where, when they decide, they can throw the region into a state of instability and violence and innocent life is lost. That's not the kind of solution.
I love the idea.
Your cough button doesn't work.
What?
Oh, I guess so.
It doesn't work.
I heard you cough last time.
Just cough loudly. I love the idea that somehow the Middle East is a hotbed of peace and tranquility. We don't want to allow them to throw the Middle East into turmoil. Because normally it's just a big rose bed over there.
And pandering to the middle class in the suburbs comes this story. The Middle East is in the midst of a transition for a new order of democracy and personal freedom.
There are those who have an interest in preserving the old order. Groups like Hezbollah, states like Syria, states like Iran. And this is a case where those in the region are choosing which side of the line they're going to be.
And what is the new order going to be? Just Disneyland and big American asses inside loose-fitting khakis?
Supercuts.
Yeah.
Office Depot. Either a Thai restaurant or Chinese, depending on what area of town.
Seriously, idiot bucktooth women working at a Hot Tips nail salon.
30-minute tanning. That's the new world order.
Yeah. God bless America. Wait, Kirk knows what type of beer was stolen.
We don't know. Oh,
no, this sounds like a bad joke in the making. Who senses a bad, bad, bad one-liner coming?
And why not? It's Friday.
Boy, I just don't even know. I'm looking down at that blinking phone line. I don't even know whether to pick that up.
Pick that up.
Says Kirk knows what type of beer was stolen. Sarah, how do you vote?
Go for it.
All right, fine.
We have delay for a reason.
Yes.
Hello there, Kirk.
Rick?
Kirk?
This is not a joke. It was Heineken.
All right. How do you know this?
I heard it on another station.
All right.
But has that been investigated?
Seriously. Let me just tell you this.
Well, the discerning thief, you know, they go for the high-end product.
Let me just say this. The difference between us and other radio stations is that we cop to the fact that we make things up. Other radio stations are probably making stuff up, too. They just don't admit it.
They don't have any more of the manpower that we do.
It's
it was a tidbit. I was something, you know.
It's a tidbit.
Okay. I'm just saying.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Kirk. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that, sir.
No problem.
All right. There you go. Yeah, it was probably made up by somebody. Well, we're happy to pass along unfounded rumor and speculative gossip. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Israel is starting to learn what we have learned in Iraq. The military is stunned at the failure of its air war. Even though they bomb things, people are still fighting. Meanwhile, Katie Couric says, hell no, I won't go. Journalists attired in black jackets and helmets covering the fighting in the Middle East apparently won't run into Katie Couric. She's scheduled to take over the CBS Evening News in September, but says it's too dangerous for her to go over to the Middle East. She tells Access Hollywood, quote, I think the situation there is so dangerous. And as a single parent with two happy children, that's something I won't be doing.
That's the spirit. That's the kind of brave investigative journalism.
It is a man's world, as Brian Williams is over there, as is Charles Gibson.
That's... Okay, that is actually that's the kind of spirit that's going to put CBS right on top, actually. It's the, I don't choose to go investigate anything really dangerous. All right.
Well, nobody saw this on TV here, but actor Colin Farrell was confronted by a woman who leapt from the audience onto stage during a taping of The Tonight Show with Jay Leno in Burbank. Nobody was hurt during the incident that happened yesterday afternoon and was initially thought to be part of a skit. But it became clear that her intentions were less than friendly. The woman was hustled away by the show's security staff.
Now, but did they cut this out on
they
the...
They did.
See, what kind of garbage is that? Oh, God damn, I hate Jay Leno and everything he stands for. So, you know, if it was Letterman, they would have left it in, probably.
But the best part is, Access Hollywood says, the woman shouted at Farrell, I'll see you in court. And Farrell replied, you're insane.
See? Why? Did you find it on YouTube?
No.
See, why would that not... Well, you leave that in. That's the key to ratings right there. Mm-hmm. See, here we go. Listen to this. This is from Andy. So this is what I was afraid of earlier. This is the, Rick, I heard the beer was Dead Guy Ale. All right, that's obligatory. Just get him out of the way there. All right.
Meanwhile, in The Tonight Show last night, audience member Joe McDonald said the crowd was shocked about what happened.
Let me get back to the,
Normal interview. All of a sudden, a woman walks up onto the stage. Colin Farrell ushers her off the stage. Tells the cameras to shut off. Tells security to get her out of there.
And so what is the thing? She'd been stalking him and already had a restraining order and then mm-hmm. just showed up?
Yeah.
All right.
And everyone has a hard... Well, used to have a hard time back in the Johnny Carson days getting on that show. Yeah. Lines were stretched around the building
sure,
for years.
Sure, it's a lot easier now. Uh-huh. Did you ever see The Tonight Show taped?
I did not. I could never get tickets during the Carson era.
I am so sad that I... That is one of the great lamentations of my life, that I never saw Carson live. And I remember when he announced his retirement... That's when it really kicked in for me. I'm like, damn, man, I gotta hustle. And you know, my grandmother went to Burbank a lot because I had the relatives that lived in Sylmar and blah, 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 blah. And anyway, and I tried, but as soon as Carson announced his retirement, then it became impossible. Then it was hard. I mean, it was hard before, but it became hard before. It became impossible to see Carson once he announced his retirement. You know, just last night, actually, I was reading, I'm a huge Johnny Carson fan. I was just listening to an old monologue that he had done, 90, and it was a great, What Democracy Means to Be by Johnny Carson means to me, and it was just fantastic, and I am so filled with sadness that I never got to see that guy. It's the best there ever was in terms of that kind of thing. And Jay Leno was just so unremittingly bland and terrible and uninteresting.
What America wants?
It's true, because it fills me with pain that he continually and constantly beats David Letterman in the ratings, but
he doesn't occupy that much brain space if you just sit in front of the TV.
That's the great thing about Leno, is that you can watch Leno and be doing like today's Jumble in the Oregonian.
Put something up in the sawhorse and use power tools. Doesn't matter. You don't miss it very much.
You'd be working on your stamp collection at the same time, you know, and writing three or four uninteresting letters to the editor about, you know, evil feminists. And, you know, do it all at once. Doesn't matter. Multitask away. Okay. The best part is that Tim and I are having this conversation and Sarah's just over there slumped over sort of and like picking something off her eye.
But we should bring
mascara's clump.
We should bring
sexy. Did you?
Lovely Sarah Dillon's modeling pictures may now be seen online.
Me seen picking clumps off of her face.
No, my this mascara is a little clumpy. It happens.
I know. I mean, I don't know, but
it all matches Project Runway.
I gotta close this breastfeeding photo. It's disturbing me. How to breastfeed longer? Because that's what everybody wants. What are we doing? Did Scotty ever go to
I don't know. I feel really guilty. I don't know if he's back. I didn't really tell him where my car is. I just remembered that.
But did he go?
I don't know.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
All right, Scotty J now in the studio. Hello, Scotty J. How are you, sir?
You rang.
All right. So did you go fill the meter for Sarah?
I did. I had to find the car.
I'm sorry.
I'm sure you got the right one.
Well, I think so.
There could have been any number of old women downtown with that
yeah,
car.
Yeah, exactly. But
no, it's true. It's true.
She pointed this
It's not
way.
A permanent car. We can make sports.
It's true.
Right. It's not permanent?
No, it's
Oh, okay.
No, it's a temporary
You're
car.
Still waiting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, was that your sister's when she was a teenager?
No, when she was in college.
Well, see, there you go. That's perfectly acceptable. The car doesn't represent you, your taste, or styles. No one was saying.
Well, thank you, Scotty.
Well, the thing is, you pointed, and so I had to.
General. Over there. So keep in mind, we're inside a building with no windows where you can't see the street. So just grunted and pointed in some random direction.
Of course, I'm starting to panic because I'm thinking, I better get back to the Rick Emerson show so I can answer the phones and, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure Laura Cabezal's calling right now to book some interesting guests that she's gone found. All right, thank you. Okay. Do we have Gary Baumgarten at 12:30? Probably not, would be my guess.
Yeah, and if we haven't heard back from CNN, then we probably don't.
All right. Well, let's do one more then, and we'll break.
Well, all right, then. I did have this parrot thievery story.
Okay.
A thief who stole a vicious parrot from a pet store was nabbed after the bird savagely picked him, leaving a trail of incriminating blood at the scene. Tristan Maidmont, 23, appeared before magistrates after police got his DNA from blood left after the attack by Mickey the Macaw. Apparently, he was stolen from the pet and aquatic center. And the owner, named Angus, described him as a grumpy old git with a vicious temper. The blue and gold bird is believed to be 50 years old and does not wish to be bothered by anyone. The court heard the bird was taken from the home in the middle of the night. And, it was kept in a very cramped cage in his bedroom, squawking as if distressed.
Mickey the moi?
The macaw. The macaw.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Apparently...
I wish we had a sounder for that.
I know.
Macaque.
That's... Well, anyway, this parrot thief faces burglary and animal cruelty charges, and will heal up after all the stitches are taken out of his face.
All right. On that note, let's break. Stitches taken out of his face. Zing! Way to go out on top. Okay. 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson Show continues. Coming up later on, Scott Daly will review Later in the Water. Later in the Water. Lady in the Water. Weekend Geek and CJ the Vegan and so forth. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM970 Solid State Radio.
The cat.
All right, see Rick Emerson Show. It's Friday. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Don't forget, coming up in about an hour, we'll have a ventriloquist sitting right here for your entertainment.
They do horoscopes, too?
Yes, he'll analyze your dreams. And then he'll play Battle of the Sexes with you. And then he'll play Make It or Break It. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I talked to his booking guy this morning, so apparently he's going to be here. So we got Scott Daly coming up at 1 o'clock, today. He'll be, talking about Lady in the Water. 1:30, we have, Jeff Dunham, who's a ventriloquist. I guess he's going to be the Aladdin tonight. I don't really have any information about him. Let me see if I've got, here we go. No? Wait? Yes. This is about Jeff Dunham. Let's see. Okay, he will also, according to Alan, which is the guy that books him, he will also... Alan Rommelfanger, he's the same guy that got... Which sounds like a made-up name. Rommelfanger. Or it sounds like something you would do to a frat buddy when he fell asleep early. Just give him the Rommelfanger. He's the same guy that got us that Hasty Dixie group and Luther Right in the Wrong. So we've dealt with him in the past. But he says that I'm assuming that Jeff will also be bringing Walter, a cranky old man puppet with... A cranky old man puppet sounds like something crude, too. Let me see your cranky old man puppet. Anyway. Oh, I'm sorry. The jalapeno's name is Jose. His name is, I swear to God, it's spelled this way. This is what this is his thing. His characters include Walter. He has a character named Peanut. which I'm assuming is just a peanut.
Oh my God, I can't wait to meet Peanut.
I swear to God, he has, and this is how it's written, Jose Jalapeno on a steak. S-T-E-E-K. So there you go.
I haven't been this excited for a guest in a long time.
Jose Jalapeno on a steak. Okay, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
Acarumba.
Live from New York City. Apparently, Candace Bergen called him flat-out funny. Oh, I'm sorry, Edgar Bergen. I just read the last half of that.
I thought Edgar Bergen was dead. Maybe back in the days when he was cool.
Maybe Edgar Bergen's skull was clutched in Jeff Dunham's right hand. All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Gary Baumgarten from New York City. Gary, how are you, sir?
I'm doing a little better today. How are you?
Well, we're having a ventriloquist on our radio program next hour.
How do you do that on radio?
You know, I don't really know the answer to that. Apparently,
that's a real challenge.
Apparently, the talking jalapeno on a steak is, according to his biography, the jalapeno is self-effacing. Which is all kinds of strange, but, you know, we really can't get the good guests
here,
so. Well,
I guess
so.
If I was a jalapeno, I wouldn't have a very good self-esteem either.
Yes, I okay. Well, hey, let's just talk about, there's a whole bunch of things going on. First and foremost, let's talk about those Con Ed guys. You heard about those Con Ed guys that were filmed asleep in their truck?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Asleep on the job while people are out of power.
I mean, and this is because you guys have had, was it brownouts or blackouts? What's been happening
there? There's a blackout in Queens that actually has lasted since Monday. They had the lights back on for a short period of time in part of the neighborhood, and then they went out again. And they've got, like, a literal army of Con Ed people there.
And then, so I was watching this morning, and they did this great thing. I don't think it was CNN. I forget who it was, but they this great thing of cutting from Bloomberg saying, like, I demand the power will be on soon. I give you my word. Cutting right to some Con Ed guys who were like asleep in their truck by the side of the road doing nothing.
Yep.
So that's
Yeah, they sent 500 Con Ed people into the neighborhood to try to figure out what's going on here.
Let me ask you, just to change gears here, because we've been talking to Lisa Baumgarten, who's been at Jerusalem, and there's all of this. I mean, the area is just, I mean, even by Mideast standards, that whole place is just going up in flames this week. And
yeah.
So is Condoleezza Rice, she is there now, or she's going there? What is
going there
happening
next week? She was here in New York to speak with the United Nations diplomatic mission that just returned from the Middle East. They came back kind of frustrated because they felt like they really had no power. All they could do was make recommendations, and I think that's really the problem here. Nobody has seemingly the ability to flip the switch and make it all go away, this nightmare that's occurring in the Middle East.
It's turned off my microphone somehow. I got the microphone, and it's right where I lean my hand.
Con Ed guys, they were getting back at you.
No, I have this microphone, and it's right near my, it's right near where I lean sometimes. And I'll put my hand there, and the microphone will just go off. But this, I mean, what can, I don't mean to sound flippant and sort of resigned about the Mideast, but what really are they gonna do? It seems like these sort of conflagrations only fizzle out when Israel just decides to quit striking people. It doesn't, or in this case, when Hezbollah just decides to knock something off. It doesn't really seem like any external body or nation can really go in there and make them do anything.
Well, the problem is there are external bodies and nations who have their hands involved in this. You know, according to the Israelis and the United States, Hezbollah is the surrogate of both Iran and Syria. And when 6 years ago Israel left the south of Lebanon, apparently, at least according to what the Israelis and the United States are saying, the Iranians and the Syrians rearmed them, and that's why they're in the situation that they're in today. And if you look at this situation in terms of the government of Lebanon, Lebanon doesn't have control of the south. It's really a very difficult situation. And so from Israel's perspective, they've been shooting these rockets across for months, and nobody stepped in to try to stop it. And so finally they decided to take matters into their own hands. And then, of course, that's cause for there to be lots of condemnation against Israel for a disproportionate response, the critics claim. on Israel's part. Israel says, well, we're just defending ourselves, and what would you do under the same circumstances? So it's a very, very difficult situation, and I envy not any diplomat that tries to go in there to negotiate this, and my hat off to anybody who's able to bring a stop to the fighting and a lasting peace is what is really needed there.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I'm not at this point crossing my fingers.
It's not very optimistic. Even Kofi Annan, who asked for an immediate ceasefire, was pessimistic about it yesterday. So,
all right,
we'll see. Maybe Condi Rice has the political muscle to really cause there to be an end to all of this.
I get the feeling that she probably carries a flogger with her most times, too, so that might actually help. Well, my friend, enjoy your weekend. Go find an air conditioner, and we will talk to you next week.
I'll see you next week.
Thank you. There's Gary Baumgarten live in New York City. Fantastic. There you go. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
Well, apparently, a python's eyes were bigger than its stomach. This comes to us in Ketchum, Idaho. A veterinarian has performed surgery to remove an electric blanket from a 12-foot Burmese python.
I read about that. He ate the blanket and the controller and the cord and the plug.
Yep.
Yeah.
The snake's owner in Ketchum said the blanket must have gotten tangled up in the snake's rabbit dinner. The blanket was in the cage to keep the snake warm. The x-rays show the tangle of blanket wiring extended, well, about 8 feet from the python's digestive tract. It took about 2 hours. The vet said they'd operated on a python before, but called in some specialists who told them where to go in. The snake's prognosis is great.
All right.
He's 60 pounds. His name is Houdini.
Another one of those pets that you see, because here's the thing. It's like 3 years we're going to hear about the snake, and it's going to have eaten that guy. I would never own a pet that could actually swallow me whole.
Well, it's a popular guest in Idaho schools.
Okay.
Because they really don't have any celebrities in Idaho.
Let's see. What do we have here? Rick. Oh, these are suggestions about the Circle of Life sounder. How about a karma watch for situations where the criminal gets what they deserve? I'm sure Scotty J has 6 or 7 copies of Karma Chameleon lying around somewhere for a sounder. You could also use this for Ken Lay. That's completely true. Hey, a ventriloquist, why not have Scotty book a mime? Or we should totally do that. We should have we should do Retarded Guest Wednesday, where we just have literally.
That's funny.
Really? Or maybe you could watch a silent movie. Ha ha, best show ever. Ha ha ha, says Andy. That is really a great idea. Retarded Guest Wednesday. Next up, mimes. Excellent. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the follow-up to Clerks is out this weekend. It is Clerks 2. The indie cult hit will find years older New Jersey Clerks Dainty and Randall being forced to settle for jobs at the fast food chain called Movies, when their old place of employment, the Quick Stop, burns to the ground. Kevin Smith said the idea of the sequel came years and several films after the original.
Sorry.
Four.
Oh, that's me. Okay, just hold your horses. I got to get back there.
Dropping the ball, Rick.
Shut up. Just be quiet. No one noticed. You want to read the set it up again?
Kevin Smith said the idea for the sequel came years and several films after the original.
It wasn't until fairly recently where I was like, man, I want to write a story about what I feel like it's like to be in my 30s. But unlike Jersey Girl, it won't be so mawkish. You know, it'll be kind of a little more grounded in reality. How do I do it? And I said, Clerks was a movie about what I felt like it was like to be in my 20s. Why don't I use Dante and Randall as my way in, as my proxies?
You know, this is getting really, really good reviews. I'm the first to admit that I was very trepidatious about... I'm sorry. I was just looking at this at the call screening software, because I've got, for those who don't know, we really had to take, you know, we got to do one of these things, do a little photo tour of the studio so people can kind of see logistically the layout of the 3x3 room in which we do this program. But I have on my screen all the time, right here, my computer monitor, a piece of software on which Scotty writes me notes about people who are calling in, what they want to talk about, where they're calling from, if they're calling about a particular topic, other notes. You know, apologies for getting David Cassidy things wrong. Whatever he has to tell me at that point. Sorry, during that Kevin Smith discussion we were having, I just looked up and on line 3, it's just Jerry is calling, and Jerry is calling to say, it is so hot outside, which struck me as hilarious for some reason. Then he would stop and pick up the phone to call in to know that it's hot. Hello, Jerry.
Hello, Rick.
You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Is it hot where you are?
Yeah, I'm working in construction, and it's
utterly
hot.
Oh, How? I mean, I know this sounds like a sensitive joke, but seriously, how hot is it? I mean, do we know the temperature outside right now?
No.
Actually, it's so hot, I can't talk about it and be politically correct. It's evil hot.
It's evil hot. And so what kind of construction are you doing? Road construction, making a building? What are you doing?
No, we're in a subdivision here in Tualatin, and a whole bunch of houses going in all crowded up on each other.
So it's hot and suburban hot, too. That's no good.
Yeah, there's no trees. There's no breeze. There's no nothing.
There's no life. There's no independent thought of any kind. On a day like this, what do you start at like 6 or something and go till 3? How does that work?
It's still hot.
I don't think anybody's disputing that. I'm just, like, what, because it seems like, I mean, what time do you guys, what am I trying to say here? Would you, based on the weather reports, do you guys start earlier or later based on what it's going to be like the next day?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. That would have been the short answer to that question.
No, I'm curious. I've never had a construction job. I'm paid and spindly.
Oh, well, lucky you.
Yes. Well, are you all listening or is it just you?
There's just me right now taking some scaffolding down, so that's just fun in the sun.
I can't even imagine. All right, well, what is the name of your company, sir?
Rather not say.
Oh, okay, fine, fair enough. No, that's a fair point. All right, well, thank you for listening, and try as best you can to get through it, and then go drink something cold and bad for you when you're off work, sir.
Okay, here's another side note. I always freeze a couple gallon jugs of water to drink before...
Right.
Before I go, they have both melted already.
That's an old thing that you'd like an athletic thing where you take a plastic gallon jug and you freeze it solid, and then as it melts, you've got ice water to drink. And so it's already melted.
That's what I do. Damn. My ice is all gone.
Oh, damn. That's.
I wish you could have seen the look on the guys' faces.
Okay. Well, it's
and
not.
When they tried the aluminum hat thing, it was hilarious.
It's 97 degrees right now, Scotty.
97?
I'm
okay, I'm out of here.
Jerry, thank you, sir.
97 feet level degrees.
All right. And by the way, it spikes at 5. 5 is the high point. They say in Portland, I guess it may be everywhere, 5 o'clock is when it is the hottest it's going to get. It's not noon.
Oh, good. That's when I'll be sitting in traffic.
Yep. Lucky you. Yeah.
That's when my air conditioning usually goes on.
Would you like to share your latest mishap?
Well, if you go to my website today, you can read in detail about all the problems with my appliances.
All your appliances are turning against you?
All of them.
Is this like Maximum Overdrive where the shaver's going to try to kill you?
Yeah, it's timradleymedia.com. But this is the first time for the refrigerator today.
So the refrigerator it's not working at all?
Well, first the refrigeration part stopped working, so I moved everything to the freezer.
What else is the refrigeration part of your refrigerator stopped working?
Well, there's
the freezer
part.
As opposed to the part that changes your tires and makes you a bagel?
There's the freezer part, which is separate from the rest of the refrigerator.
Okay.
It's in two sections, so I moved everything over to the freezer part, and then everything started to melt in that part. So now just the light bulbs work in the refrigerator, and that's about it. So when I go home tonight, I have to eat all my lunches for next week. Or throw them all away.
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh, but that's hilarious.
And the repairman isn't coming till Monday. So this is the hottest weekend of the year.
And by the way, that's the thing. If you got an air conditioner that's on the fritz, don't bother calling because they're just going to laugh.
Yep.
Although I've learned that you can bribe them. I've learned if you're willing to bribe them though, if they're going to say, well, look, it's $150 to fix your air conditioner. If you say, look, I will give you $250, they'll come out and do it. If you just offer to give the guy $100 cash, I've had to do that in the past because I can't live without air conditioning.
No.
I've said that in the past. I am a sissy. I am weak. I cannot. When summertime hits, man, when it gets above 85, the air conditioner goes on in my house, and I'm the first to admit that. You think that growing up in a desert would make you sort of tough, but it has had the opposite effect on me, because I grew up in a desert where it's a place where it's just dry, dirt, sandy, gritty, hot every day, all summer long, 105, 108, and it had the effect of making me completely weak when it comes to the heat. I can't tolerate it at all. Mike from TriMet wants to compare hot stories. Let's finish this Kevin Smith thing before we do anything. So, we played the first sound cut.
Yeah.
So, I heard that he is making Clerks 2 because he promised that if Jason Mewes cleaned up and got off the junk, that he would make another... Because he closed it out. Because Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back was the last movie in the Jersey series. And I heard that he told Jason Mewes, though, he's like, if you get off heroin, I'll make another movie for you as like a reward for you cleaning up. That's why I heard he did this. And I was totally opposed to Clerks 2. I was opposed to it because that first film is such a classic. It's such a low-budget, low-everything, low-budget classic that
I love the scene with all the candy on the floor.
Yeah, it's
one of the best scenes ever put on film.
It's a great, great movie. It really is. It's a great, charming, funny, little, perfect film for what it is. But the reviews on Clerks 2 have been fantastic. I actually checked Rotten Tomatoes, and it was like a 98%. Thumbs up. So, anyway, let's get the second. What's the second cut?
Kevin Smith says his flop Jersey Girl has something to do with why he made Clerks 2.
Jersey Girl played a role, but it wasn't because Jersey Girl didn't do well. I was thinking about doing Clerks 2 from the moment we were in the midst of Jersey Girl. And I spent every day with two of the most famous people in the world, and I was just like, God, next movie I make, no celebrities.
See, and I, unlike the people in this room, I liked Jersey Girl. I didn't think it was the best movie ever. I liked it, though. I thought George Carlin was really good. I thought Affleck did a good job. Jennifer Lopez is shrill, but they kill her in like the first 5 minutes, so I don't care about that. And even the little kid, who I normally hate little kids, she was tolerable as little kids go. Carlin was, that's far and away, Jersey Girl's the best thing Carlin has ever done, acting-wise, except for Prince of Tides. He was good in that, too. But I gotta tell you, but Clerks 2, man, it's good to see him going back to what he's good at, where he belongs. I mean, it's, so I'll see that. I mean, I'm excited about it. I was not, but now I am.
It stars Brandon O'Halloran, Jeff Anderson, Richard Dawson, Trevor Furman, and Jason
Richard
Neal.
Dawson?
I'm sorry, Rosario Dawson.
Richard Dawson. And welcome. Let me kiss you on the cheek. Is Richard Dawson dead?
Oh, yeah.
So like you're not even, sometimes we're not sure. Like right there, you just had no hesitation at all. He's a long time dead.
That guy had a really bad temper. His ticker wouldn't have lasted that long.
Richard Dawson?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do you know this?
I know people who worked on the show.
On Family Feud?
Yep.
So give me an example of Richard Dawson's famous temper.
Oh, he used to stomp off set if he disagreed with something that was going on.
Really? He was a prima donna?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But he was good in Hogan's Heroes.
No, I was going to say, that's the problem. You go on Hogan's Heroes, is it Family Feud?
Yep.
Yeah, Family Feud. Or just The Feud, as they came to call it in later years. Oh, yeah, and then Scotty is noting that there's a Family Feud curse, because then what's-his-name hung himself in a closet, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The guy, the Mormon guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The short guy, I can't remember his name.
Let's see. Oh, and Richard Dawson's in Running Man. That's right. All right. Let's see.
But he's not in Clerks 2.
Rick, I have seen... Rosario Dawson, who is fantastically beautiful, is in Clerks 2. Rick, I have seen the jalapeno, the ventriloquist perform several times, and he is the best. Especially the characters Walter and... Jalapeno on a steak. STEEK are flat out funny. It is totally hilarious. Guaranteed, says Brian.
Have you even heard this man speak? I don't even know what we're in for.
I only heard him on, he was on Couple yesterday morning.
Yeah, I have no idea what we're in for.
I was in the bathroom, and because here's the problem with this guy. Or the problem with me and this guy is that I came in halfway through the interview and at first, because it's a ventriloquist and he has a couple, puppets or whatever they're called, and one, a dummy, and one is an old man named Walter and one is Jose the Jalapeno on a steak.
And they work in the junkyard together.
And then at the end they hug each other to show that we're all brothers under the skin. Mm-hmm. But I came in halfway through the interview, because Couple's aren't in the bathroom here. And I walked in, you go into the bathroom and there's either Couple or K-Hits. They don't allow our station to be heard by anybody.
We have never been in any bathroom that we've worked at.
They never heard us in the bathroom.
They don't put us, if you call this building, you're put on hold, you hear either Couple or K-Hits. When you're in the lobby, you hear either Couple or K-Hits. You can't hear this station on hold. They won't put it in the lobby. They won't put it in the bathroom. They won't play it at any corporate event, which is fine with me. Because as soon as they put us on hold, some Couple listener's going to call in because she won like a Martina McBride CD and she's going to be waiting on hold or she's going to be standing in the lobby with her 5-year-old and I'm going to say the word penis and then the next thing you know there's going to be Ralph Reed's out front with a sign marching back and forth. So, but I was in the bathroom changing from my bike clothes to my day clothes and Couple was on, but I came in halfway through the interview. I didn't hear them say like, let's welcome Jeff Dunham. So I didn't hear Jeff Dunham's real voice. So I came in as he was in character as the old man. I came in and the old guy, another thing, and my bowels, and just, I'm like, who is this? And I didn't realize. And then I ducked out of the bathroom and I came back in later and I hear a lot of would you like to meet my sister? And I'm like, who is this? Why? What is going on? And then I realized later that it was a ventriloquist. That's a stupid story.
That was a beautiful story.
Thank you.
That was heartwarming.
Tim, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How you doing today?
Let's not talk about it. What's,
in case you didn't know, it's hot
I like
out.
How you didn't even stop to wait for the response there. Yes, it is hot. Thank you, sir.
Hey, Jeff is really good. When he does jalapeno on a steak and peanut, when he's done it on Leno and a few other shows, they keep it pretty tame, but his live act is extremely raunchy and dirty. I highly recommend going to see him live somewhere.
You can see him live. He will be at the Aladdin tonight, I'm to understand that.
That would be a great show. He does a lot of sexually charged and politically non-correct stuff.
Please tell me that the jalapeno does not do any politically and sexually charged humor.
Oh, of course not. Why would he do that, Rick?
Nobody wants to hear that sexuality of a jalapeno.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. We appreciate the call. All right, thank you. Okay. Hello, Mike. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi there.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, the last thing I want to hear is some candy-ass construction worker complaining how hot it is.
Okay, that's you saying that, brother. I'm not gonna confront any construction worker about anything.
Try sitting in traffic in this 40-foot metal, un-air-conditioned box with giant windows that act as magnifying glasses. With every screaming child on Earth because their 14-year-old mothers can't control them.
Zing.
It's a terrarium.
It really is. No.
Oh, God, it's hot. Our dispatch just sent out a message system-wide saying, don't call us. If your bus breaks down because it's too hot, there's nothing we can do about it.
So you're just going to sit by the side of the road and eat each other?
Right now I'm at 185th and Walker, stuck out in the broiling sun with a broken-down bus.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
And they told us to fix it by going and lifting up our engine compartment, running our inside heaters on high, and sitting there until the heat dissipates and you can move.
I got to tell you, now this is a true story. In 1993, I guess it was, I forget where I was living at the time, but I came to Portland. Must have been 92, 93. I must have been living in somewhere in Washington. But my brother and I came to Portland to see Metallica and Suicidal Tendencies, I think, at Portland Meadows. Anyway, so and Carcass, because Carcass was playing the night before at La Luna, and I was a big Carcass fan at the time. Don't laugh at the band named Carcass. I'm snickering. So we saw Carcass at La Luna, and then we saw Metallica at Portland Meadows. Anyway, it was in the middle of summer, hotter than hell. Same thing, I had a bad piece of crap at Ford Escort.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I shouldn't make fun. It was a good car, but I mean, it was no air conditioning. It was black,
it's
by the way.
Hit something.
It was a black car, no air conditioning. It's like 500 degrees outside. I am driving my brother back from Portland to Kennewick, which, of course, is a desert where it's like 110. As we're driving, that engine temperature gauge cranking up and up and up and up, and finally it's getting to where the car's about to overheat, and we're like, it, you know, not like in the Mojave Desert, but we're in the middle of nowhere. If we'd broken down, we would have been screwed. We don't have any water. We don't have anything. We're dumb. And so, that same thing. The only way I could keep my car from overheating, and keep in mind, this is in July.
Run the heater.
Yeah, it's 105 degrees. I'm running the heater in the car full blast.
Yeah, the heater bleeds the
heat off. So, of course, the car's fine. We're dying of heat stroke inside the car.
That's what's happening right now.
My brother's seeing dead relatives. You know, it's just, it was the worst moment of my life. Hold on a second. This is Jerry. Stay right there. This is, I'm sorry, Mike, stay right there. Okay, don't go anywhere because Jerry, the candy-ass construction worker, is now here. Hello, Jerry.
Yeah, the candy-ass is here.
Yes.
Hey, Jerry, this is TriMet, man. Just go up in your air-conditioned pickup truck and regain. No, take it away. No, sir, I'm not in an air-conditioned pickup truck. I'm taking scaffolding apart.
You can go to your air-conditioned pickup truck.
No, I can't. I can't finish the job till it's done. You know how it is.
Hey, man, you know, construction workers got it made.
This is going to end in violence.
What's the bus number again?
Yeah, I was going to say, where?
Just look for the one with the engine compartment opened up and at 185th and Walk.
Rick.
And answer me this, Rick. You're a godlike creature.
Uh-huh.
Why is everybody out in this heat? The traffic is so incredible, and there's just people everywhere. What are they doing out?
I don't know, and I got
to
tell you,
they're rushing to get tickets for the jalapeno on a stick concert.
Actually, they're rushing. I have to tell you that I bike this morning, and even though I was running late, No, I was running late, and I bicycled to work because it was really hot, and obviously it's going to be hot when I bicycle home, but I will still take that. Even though I've got air conditioning in my car, I will take that over sitting in traffic because you know there's going to be cars overheating. There's going to be some joker who is low on gas, turns on the AC, his car breaks down.
That's exactly what's happening. 185th is basically a parking lot.
I don't want to be on the road.
For as far as you can see, with people going nowhere.
No, it's... Yeah,
what are they out for?
No, it's the stand out there. Pretty soon, Randall Flagg is going to be having
later,
you know,
guys.
And it's only the third. And it's only the
being a jalapeno on a stick.
All right, Jerry, thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. All right, and Mike, no, you're right. It's the parking lot is just it's going to be hell. It's just going to it's going
to
be the worst thing ever.
I have to be stuck
especially if you're driving to the coast right after the show today and you're wearing a tank top and you're going to be burned and scorched. It's going to be terrible.
Living in a world gone wild.
All right, Mike, well, good luck, my brother. And are the kids, is the bus still have passengers on it? Oh, he's gone.
All right. I hope he didn't pass out.
I was going to say the heat. One of the other passengers finally killed him to drink his fluids. All right, there you go. Scott Daly is here. We should break.
Oh.
All right. Okay. It's hot.
Hot.
It's 503-733-2970. I'll tell you what, we're going to do this. Take a break. Come back. Scott Daly's going to be here to talk with Lady in the Water. Sweet, sweet, cooling water. Bottom of the hour, Jeff Dunham and his self-effacing jalapeno on a steak will be here. Later on, the top five hot songs is put together by Scott Daly. Scotty J. You stay there. Back after this.